The verse number 18, again, now starts a new thought. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. Let no man deceive you. Let no man try to get you all bitten, twisted in your mind of the reward that you have for your voluntary humility. And then he says, and worshiping of angels. Now that's what Gnosticism did. So again, he comes back at it and he hits it again. He smacks it again, because Gnosticism said you have to have special knowledge, you have to have special interaction with angels as you work your way up to God. And so if you haven't had contact with angels, you don't qualify in talking to God, because you've got to have so many contacts with angels before you can talk to God. Aren't you thankful today that that's not the case?
Amen.
I got a direct line to the Messiah. I ain't got to go through Michael and Angelo and... I ain't got to go through a bunch of rigmarole and stuff, but I can go to Jesus and I can talk to him as my very best friend. I can talk to him as though we're face to face. We can commune and have fellowship one with another. I don't have to worry about all that. So let no man beguile you. And then he said, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Understand this, that the fleshly teachers were claiming that God was somewhere far, far away, and they could only approach him through those various levels like I just mentioned. They taught that people had to worship those angels in order to reach God. But of course, we understand through the scripture found in Exodus 23 and 4, Revelation 22 and 8, that the Bible plainly teaches against the worshiping of angels. Plainly teaches that the angels are the servants of God and forbids us to worship them. I'm going to tell you, anybody that worships anything but Jesus Christ, the Bible said, I'm a jealous God. And that, don't get mad at me. I'm just delivering the mail here today. But that's why we don't worship the Mother Mary. That's why we don't go through all these religious rites and rituals. Because I'm going to tell you, Mary was only a vessel that was willing to facilitate a need and a plan that God had. But Jesus Christ is the one you pray to. Forgive Mary. Number 19 said, and is a continuation of verse 18, and not holding the head. So he talks about these worshiping of angels and doing all this stuff, and not holding the head. Do you see that in your Bible? Is that what it says in your Bible?
Yes.
Is head capitalized?
Yes.
Do you think that's by accident?
No.
Who's it talking about?
Jesus.
It's talking about Jesus, because the entire book of Colossians is talking about Jesus, and it's all in him. Everything is in him. You're complete in him. He is the head. Amen. And what they were doing is they were holding in regard all these other things and not holding the head. He says, not holding the head, from which all of the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. If you don't have him as the head of your life, you ain't got it together. You're going to be all discombobulated, if you will. You'll have so many parts and pieces everywhere because you got to have the head. And when you have the head, you got the joints and the bands all together. And we sing that song. The foot bone connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone connected to the... How's it connected? Everything is together when you got a head. A headless person that ain't a person.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
No. Right.
Come on now. And so they had all these different things, but they didn't hold the head. And this is where he goes back to having him as prominent in the world, but not preeminent. They didn't hold him in the highest regard, in the highest esteem. Therefore, he was not fitly joined together with all of the body. That's why there was division. Make sense? Because he wasn't the head. And that's why there's division in the church, quote unquote, today. Because they don't hold Jesus. When I say church, I mean, let me put it in a more blunt term or different term, the religious world. The reason why that there's so many divisions and so much of a mess is because they don't hold Jesus as the head.
Right, amen.
Right.
But it's this one, or it's that one, or they got this prophet, or they got that prophet, or they got all these different things. And that's why there's so much division. Because if you don't hold Jesus in the highest regard and make him preeminent in your life, you can't be joined together.
That's right.
As the body.
Absolutely.
Of Christ. Hallelujah. The fundamental problem with false teachers was that they were not connected to Christ, the head of the body of all believers. They had been joined to him. They could not have, if they had been joined to him, they could not have taught false doctrine, and they could not have lived immoral. They couldn't live anymore. Okay. Now I want to read these last four verses together. Then I'm going to preach a little bit more, and then I'm going to be done. But I tried to break these up, and it was hard to do that. And so what I'm going to do, and you'll just have to pick pieces and pull it together, out of these last four verses that he begins to speak here. And then what I'm saying afterwards. So, now he starts in again. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ. You see how he's just continually hammering it over and over again.
That's right.
Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not. Taste not. Again, he's dealing with Jewish legalism. He's dealing with it again. He said, why are you living like this and are subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are, to perish with the using. That's in,
what do they call those things?
Parentheses.
Thank you. It's in parentheses.
And then he goes on to say, after the commandments and doctrines of men. There's a difference. He's drawing a separation. He said, we're talking about the doctrine and the commandments of men. Which things have indeed a shoe or an open example of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body. Not give any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So he's dealing again with Jewish legalism again. Religious rules, regulations, and rights. So on. People, so let me finish tonight by this. Several things. People should be able to see a difference between the way a true believer or Christian lives versus that of somebody who does not, who is not a Christian or a believer. Still, we should not expect instant maturity in any and every new Christian.
Right.
I'm going to give you some things to live by here.
Unfortunately, that's what Jewish religion or legalism, ritualism expected. If you get on board, you line up, and you line up now. No room for failure. No room for mistakes. You do it like this, period. All right? This growth and relationship with Jesus Christ is a lifelong process.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely, yes.
This growth and relationship with Jesus Christ is a lifelong process. Although we have a new nature, we do not automatically think all good thoughts.
Right.
We do not automatically become pure and righteous and holy and undefiled.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Huh? Our attitudes are not wholesome all the time.
Right.
Man. But if we keep listening to God, we will be changing all the time. This is the only evolution I believe in.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Did it come from an ape?
No.
But this is the only evolution that I believe in, is that we're changing all the time in our relationship with Christ. I am becoming more and more mature. The more I am filled with His Spirit, the closer I get to Him, the more I become like Him in character, in nature, in attitude, and in everything.
Amen.
All right? As you look over the past several years of your life, what changes for the better have you seen in your attitude and in your thoughts since Jesus came in? Change may have been slow, but your life will significantly change if you trust God to change you. This is a problem that we have everywhere. No matter what organization, religious, whatever, and I'm going to say it again because I just like it. I hate religion. But I sure am loving this relationship.
Amen.
I want to tell you something I told my wife this morning. I said, honey, if you rolled back 2 years ago and Jesus walked these streets, I think Jesus would have rebuked me severely for being nothing more than a Pharisee. Ooh. Some of y'all go, really? Yeah. And the reason why is because so often we lean on the strong arm of the flesh again. We are steeped in religious rites, religious protocol, and not enough in Him. You say, well, man, that can't be true. Surely, Pastor. No, I know myself. I know myself. I know some of the things that I struggled with. And some of it, can I be just open and honest with you right now? I struggled because of peer pressure. Because I was worried about what another preacher might say if he came to my church and saw a certain person or a certain individual looking like, or maybe even acting like, or maybe even talking like. And so I became so entrenched in trying to make sure that everything was as perfect as possible.
Right.
I've come to the conclusion that I'd rather have 50 people of imperfection.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
You want to say 50? 500. Okay, I want to make sure I say that right.
I'd rather have 500 people of imperfection than 50 people like Miles. Perfect in every way.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I'd rather have a bunch of imperfection than a bunch of perfect cookie cutter exacto knife type of people.
Right.
But those people loving God, worshiping God, thanking God for His mercy and His grace, and striving for perfection. Put one foot in front of the other, fighting the devil every time he drops his head up, saying, come on, let's go a little bit further. Depending upon the grace and the mercy of God to help us win the race and get to the other side.
Yeah.
Not reach up to God by following rules of this pious self-denial, the observing of rituals, the practicing of religion. And that's what was happening. That was what was creeping in to the church. Paul isn't saying all rules are bad. That's not what he's saying. We can go to Galatians chapter 2 and 15 and 16 and we can understand that. But keeping laws or rules to earn salvation is totally out of line. And that's where we do quit depending upon the Spirit and leaning on the strong arm of the flesh. Well, I'm doing this and I'm acting this way and I'm da-da-da-da and I don't have and I don't... Wait a second. I want you to reevaluate really where you're at. Have we become nothing more than modern day Pharisees? The good news is that God reaches down to His creation and He just simply asks for us to respond. Our salvation doesn't depend on our own discipline, on our own rule keeping, but on the power of Christ's death, His burial, and His resurrection. What am I preaching here? I'm not throwing those things out the window, because Paul didn't even throw those out the window. But Paul, he was of the very highest sect in religion.
He was a Pharisee, the Bible said, of Pharisees. You couldn't find anybody squeakier clean than Paul.
That's why Paul could preach this the way he did. That's the reason why Paul could rebuke that attitude and that spirit and say, it can't be. You're not depending on Jesus Christ. You're not making Him the center focal point. You're not being complete in Him. You're leaning on the strong arm of the flesh. He could say that like nobody else. Because He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was of the greatest enlightenment and understanding of that day. So if anybody could preach it, Paul could preach it. We can guard against man-made religions by asking a few questions. And in my study, these are not questions of my own, but in my study, they convicted me. Well, not convicted me. They made me sit up and think in this study. And that is, does that religion, said religion, does it stress man-made rules rather than God's grace? If we hear more about what that person, that individual, that religion, that organization says, you can and cannot do more than grace, you've got to set up and listen and think about it. Does it foster a critical spirit towards others? you're always looking down your nose at other people, because if you are, something's wrong with your religion.
Yeah. Oh, amen. Right. Amen.
I'm going to say something here. I want to make this very clear. If you look down, and because we're living in a society right now that is so messed up. But if you look down your nose at a homosexual, something's wrong with your religion. You hear me? Oh, Pastor, they need to be saved like the liar does, like the murderer does, like the cheater does.
If you look down at your nose at somebody that you think is disgusting and doing an abominable thing, it doesn't matter. Something's wrong with your religion.
Amen.
And it's all you've got is religion. You don't have relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
I don't believe for one second if Jesus still was walking this face of the earth that he would look down. But rather he would say, thy sins be forgiven thee.
Right.
Don't Amen. Sin no more.
Yeah.
Does it exercise discipline discreetly and with love? Does it stress formulas or secret knowledge or special visions more than the pure, unadulterated Word of God?
If it gets outside of the Word of God, whoa.
Does it elevate self-righteousness, honoring those who keep rules rather than elevating Jesus Christ?
Oh. Does it elevate self-righteousness? I'm going to tell you, when you get down and you start sitting at a table and you start to talk about somebody that may not be crossing every T and dotting every I, there's something wrong with your religion.
You start picking them apart of what they're not doing and how they're not living right, or how they may not be acting right, or how they might be dressing right. You know what? Your self-righteousness is a filthy rag before God.
That's about the highest you can attain, is filthy rags with your righteousness. Because again, what are we talking about? We've got to go all the way back and dig deep into the Word. And he keeps on. Because 34 times, remember, 34 times, 34 times, 34 times does he use the word all. And he keeps on relaying everything back to Jesus. Because it's all in him. Amen.
Does your religion neglect Christ's church, the entire body, claiming to be an elite group?
And sometimes, well, they don't do this and they don't do that. And there may be some things that we may differ on. And there may be purpose and reason or so on and so forth. There may be a lot of things, but we've got to be very careful that we don't become just another religious sect,
right,
like Pharisees and Sadducees, right, of the days of old.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Oh,
I don't want to be a Pharisee or a Sadducee.
Well, we believe this way. Well, we believe this way. Well, that's where we draw the line.
And you're both supposed to be spiritual. But all the while, we're not leaning on the Spirit, but the strong arm of the flesh.
Right, amen.
Does it disregard the family of God rather than hold it in the highest regard as the Bible does?
You see, there's some things here just in the things that I make mention that, and even in this last one, do we disregard the family of God, and have we picked apart? Now, I understand there's a certain part of siblings that just right? You got siblings. I love you too. that. They just boss you around. Say what you do. You got to sit down. You got to sit down. How do you like the difference between you and your sister?
Not really.
No? But there's certain things between siblings. But then there's still something there. And if somebody goes and attacks Jaslyn, you're not going to go, go ahead, kill her. Kill her! Go for it! At least I hope not. Just making sure. Jazz, you're safe. Even though your brother just gets on your nerves and you get on his and you two fight like demons, you can be assured that if somebody attacks you, your big brother's going to stick up for you. That feels pretty good, don't it? Because there's something about the family of God. You may have your disagreements, but I want to tell you there's something that, and I've been preaching it and preaching it and preaching it about loving one another. Part of that loving one another is truly looking over. You know what? They got their personality. Let them have their personality. Thank you, honey. I'm glad you're preaching with me right now. It's just me and you. It's just me. It's their personality. For crying out loud, let them have their personality. But don't be a hater. Not yet. Church isn't over, son. My daughter told me every time I walk off the pulpit, he's like, oh, it's over. I got to get to my papa. Hold on. To the Colossians, the discipline demanded by false teachers seemed good. And legalism is still even attractive today. But following that long list of religious rules requires strong self-discipline and can make a person appear moral. But they can't change a person's heart like the Holy Ghost can.
Right. Oh, right. Hallelujah,
I said come it on, can't change. It. And I told you today, and even this evening when I was praying, I just had so many of you on my mind, on my heart, and praying for you even today. And I don't know. I understand. I see some of my folly and the error of my way, and I want to change. I want to be more like Him. I do. Oh, I do. I do. I do. I want to be like Him. And so today, I understand. I understand the frailty of my flesh, and therefore I understand the frailty of your flesh. It's just like somebody's not here tonight, and they weren't feeling well, and so they didn't come to church, and yet we had such a good talk after church today, and God was dealing with them, and God was talking to them, and all kinds of things, but they're not here in church today, and some are frustrated because of that, and it's okay, and I want to say, look, it's okay, but we need to pray for them. We need to love them. Amen. And I begin to think of so many others, and maybe I don't know how to articulate and say it all right and say it perfect and whatever and whatever. I can't do it. I don't have the eloquence of being able to say it. And sometimes I think that we really don't, we do take it for granted when we say, I love you. And yet tonight, the one thing that came back to me over and over and over again, and that I want this church to know, is that I love you. And I say that in all sincerity, because I want you to know I love you in every one of your inadequacies, your faults, your failures, your whatever, all your idiosyncrasies. And sometimes that's so hard for us all to be able to do. Let's be honest with each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's so hard for us to do, because we all have it in our mind of what this should be and how that should be and how this should be.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, and like I said, I don't know how to say it all, but and yet if I get full of the Holy Ghost, I'm not preaching to you so much as I am preaching to myself. If I get full of the Holy Ghost, I can love you so much better.